that should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census. It took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." My brothers and sisters, I ask that you would join me in a word of prayer as we share on this sermon subject, "The Grinch Won't Get My Christmas." The Grinch won't get my Christmas. Turn to somebody and look them in the face and say, "The Grinch won't get my Christmas. The Grinch won't get my Christmas." Let's look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. Thank you for this moment that's yours. Thank you for your hand. Now, God, grab a hold of me and use me to your honor and to your glory. And I thank you, God, that we do believe, God, that you, Jesus, is the reason for the season, and you shall get the glory out of this story. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. The Grinch won't get my Christmas. My brothers, my sisters, when I was growing up, and even now, there are some old familiar shows that come on TV around Christmas time. I mean, one of the ones that is the most familiar, one of the ones that caught my attention the most, one of the ones that seized my attention the most is the one about this guy by the name of the Grinch. Little ugly green guy who was so upset, so mad about Christmas that he didn't want anybody to have any joy. Anybody know folks like that? It's not just that they don't want to have joy. They don't want you to have joy. Amen. And it was interesting because the Grinch had this song called "You're a Mean One." Have I got a witness in the house today? Mr. Grinch. Amen. Amen. The Grinch was just a cantankerous kind of a fella who didn't want anybody to have the joy. And Christmas bothered him. Christmas bothered him. And so he got so upset that he wanted to be able to steal Christmas. He wanted to be able to steal Christmas. So what the Grinch did was the Grinch went into the area of Whoville. Whoville, I mean, they loved Christmas. They would have a serious show enough time at Christmas. They would have all the decorations, all the lights, all the gifts. It was a major celebration at Christmas time. And what the Grinch decided is that he wanted to ruin Christmas for Whoville. He wanted to steal Christmas. And so he went and he stole every gift, every present in Whoville. He thought that because he stole the gifts and the presents, that all of a sudden that would stop Christmas for the folks in Whoville. But what happened in Whoville, as folks started complaining because all the gifts were gone, the lights were gone, that everything was gone, that this one little girl said, "Oh, but Christmas is much more than just the gifts and the lights." And what you started watching in Whoville was that all of Whoville all of a sudden turned into a choir and started to sing. The Whoville with no gifts realized that Christmas was much more than just about gifts. They started to sing their song, and the Grinch, having all their gifts up on a hill, heard them singing their song. If you look at that story, what you'll see is that you'll see the Grinch, and he's sitting there, and he's hearing them sing this song, and he's thinking, "Well, how can they still sing this song? Because Christmas has been stolen, because I've got all of their gifts." And the story goes that the Grinch then starts to realize that Christmas was about much more than gifts. And if you watch the cartoon or if you watch the movie of it, you'll start to see, and at that moment, the Grinch his heart started to grow, and the Grinch started to cry because the Grinch realized that Christmas was much more than just gifts. My brothers and my sisters, I believe that if you look at Christmas right now, there are a whole lot of Grinches trying to steal your Christmas. And if you look right now, folks don't even want you to say Merry Christmas anymore. Amen, somebody? Amen. They just want you to say Happy Holidays. I don't mind you. You can say Happy Hanukkah to you and Happy Kwanzaa to you. But can I get a Merry Christmas? Amen, somebody? Because you don't have to steal my Christmas. Because what you've got to understand is the world tries to steal your Christmas. It tries to steal your Christmas and trying to commercialize Christmas. The world tries to steal your Christmas and getting you to be so caught up in gifts and presents and what you can buy so they can make money on you that it's really a Merry Christmas for Amazon and not you. Amen, somebody? It's really a Merry Christmas for all of the different stores but not you because you've gone into debt. It's a good Merry Christmas for the creditors but not you because there are a lot of Grinches trying to what? Steal your Christmas. A lot of Grinches trying to steal your Christmas. Even up on Capitol Hill and in the White House, you got some Grinches trying to steal your Christmas. And if you look here in the midst of all of this, that much of the legislation and much of the challenges that are happening are not necessarily to be able to help the regular folks, but if you look at it, most of the gifts that were given in a tax cut to the rich folks. Amen, somebody? A lot of Grinches trying to steal your Christmas. But I've come by my brothers and my sisters and say, this Christmas, don't let the Grinch steal your Christmas. Because you've got to remember, if you remember anything, that Christmas is not about Santa Claus, but it's about Jesus who did what he did because. Amen, somebody? It's because Jesus was born because God gave a little baby by the name of Jesus that we celebrate Christmas. Don't let a Grinch steal what? Your Christmas. One of the first things that I want you to make sure that you don't let steal your Christmas or be a Christmas Grinch is don't let disappointment steal your Christmas. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't be so disappointed that it ruins your joy. Amen. Don't let disappointment steal your Christmas. What do you mean, Reverend? Well, when I look at this story, I look at Mary and Joseph, and here you find Mary and Joseph. Mary has been told by God that she's about to have God's child, and after she's been told that, all of a sudden, Caesar Augustus decides to issue a decree for there to be a census, and in order for this census to happen, that Joseph has to take Mary and take her from where they live in Nazareth to Bethlehem, and they go all the way to Bethlehem, a 70-mile journey. Can you picture what it's like to go on a 70-mile journey with a pregnant woman? With no Uber, with no Amtrak, with no plane, with no, I'm talking about you walking and you riding on a donkey for 70 miles. It takes days to be able to get there, weeks to be able to get there, and you finally get there, and the Bible says, and they finally get to Bethlehem, and there's no room for them in the inn. Can you picture how disappointing it is to go for 70 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem with your pregnant wife and you get to the place where you're supposed to go and there's no room for you to be able to stay in the place? Not just is there no room, but nobody will even give you space where they are. I mean, I would think that if you in a room and you see that my wife is pregnant and pregnant enough that she's about to deliver a child, that somebody would find space in their house, in their room, in their something, but nobody found space. Can you picture how disappointing it is that the innkeeper says, well, I don't have any room up in here, but I got a stable out back you can go in, that you can go out and be with the animals. You can go out and be with everybody's animals, the animals that folks rode to get here, the animal that folks use to be able to milk, to get their milk, that you can be with the animals with your pregnant wife. Can you picture how disappointing it is? Can you picture how you must have thought being Joseph, that Joseph is sitting there and Joseph is like, well God told me that Mary is about to have God's baby. And so I figure if Mary's about to have God's baby, God's going to at least pay child support. Amen, somebody. To God, at least is going to give the hookup. Amen. I mean, you just the one that made the whole world. You can at least take care of a room when we get to Bethlehem. Amen. But God ain't even took care of no room when we get to Bethlehem. Can you picture how disappointing it could be to be with your pregnant wife and you're sitting there and you get there and there's no space for you and you have to be out in a stable among the animals, among the filth, among the stench of it all? Can you picture how disappointed that could be? Somebody here, you know what it's like to have a disappointing Christmas. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and what you hoped it would be like was not what it's like. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and how you wanted your money to look is not how your money looks. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and the provision that you thought was going to be there is not there. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and the job you wish you had had all year long is not there. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and the gifts that you wish you could buy, you can't buy. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and the food you wish you had at your house is not at your house. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and the family you wish was loving is not loving. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and the folks you used to have relation with, you don't have relationship. You know what it's like to get to Christmas and everything seems to be falling apart. Or have I got a witness in the house today that knows what it's like to have a disappointing Christmas? But I've come by to let you know, don't let disappointment steal your joy. Because I've come by to let you know that sometimes disappointment is just getting you set up to make your story even better. I turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know it looks a little rough right now, but you wait till you hear my testimony. I know it looks a little hard right now, but you wait until you see what God does. I know it looks a little raggedy right now, but you wait till God stretches down and takes care of my situation. I wish I had somebody in the house today that could bear witness that maybe I've had a disappointing Christmas, but I've come up on the other side. I've had a Christmas in which everybody talked about me. I've had a Christmas in which they scandalized my name. I've had a Christmas in which my money was funny and my change was strange. I've had a Christmas in which nobody wanted to be with me. But I'm so glad that God can turn things around. And my testimony is, in the midst of my disappointment, God gave me joy for sorrow. God gave me beauty for ashes. That God made a way for me. That late in the midnight hour, that's when God turned it around. Don't let disappointment steal your Christmas. Don't let disappointment steal your Christmas. But second, don't let loneliness steal your Christmas. It's an interesting thing, but you can be in a lunchroom, a full lunchroom, but still be lonely. You can be in a full classroom, young people, and still be lonely. You can be in a full house and still feel lonely. You can feel in a full church and still feel lonely. And one of the challenges for many of us during this Christmas season is loneliness steals your Christmas. That you're looking and everybody else is bunned up. Everybody else got their boo. Everybody else is doing their thing. Everybody else looking for mistletoe. Amen, somebody. And it don't matter. You got mistletoe all over your house, but nobody to be up under it with you. Amen, somebody. And sometimes loneliness, and not just loneliness of what you don't have, but loneliness of who's missing. Amen. A loneliness of who used to be here, who's gone on to be with the Lord. Loneliness can sometimes steal your joy of your Christmas. But I've come by to let you know that don't let loneliness steal your Christmas. If you look at what does it mean to have to give birth in a stable? Can you picture how it feels and how lonely you must feel that you're sitting there in the middle of a town that is swelling and is so populated that there's no room in the inn? In other words, you go to the hotel and there's so many people, they can't find room for you in the hotel, but you still have to give birth out in a stable by yourself. Can you picture what it means to be a man and a woman and you're in the midst of all the animals, in the midst of all the filth, and that's where you're going to bring in your child, your baby? And in those times, a stable wasn't necessarily a built-out kind of a barn, but in those times, a stable was like a cave. And so you're in this cave, Lord have mercy, with all these animals and all this filth. I got any mothers in the house today that can picture what it must have felt like to be out in the cold, out in the elements, out in the midst of it all, sitting there having to give birth, and the child. Challenge even in this time period is in this time period what would happen when it was time to give birth is when it was time to give birth that it was customary for the brother to leave the room and the woman to go and handle the business all by herself. So can you picture what it must have been like for Mary in a stable with God's child by herself trying to give birth? Can you picture the loneliness that must have crept up in the, but don't let loneliness steal your joy, because I've come by to let you know, even in the midst of the loneliness, that you may feel like you're by yourself, but you're not by yourself. That it may look like you're by yourself, but you're not by yourself. That you may do a head count, and the head count says you're by yourself, but you're not by yourself. Because wherever you are, God is right there with you. That I don't care who may not be there. I've come by to let you know on this Christmas season that even if you're all by yourself, or even if you're sitting eating by yourself, I've come by to let you know God is with you. But I've also come by to let you know if you're eating by yourself this Christmas, a letter let us know before Christmas. We'll find somebody for you to hang with, because we all in this thing together. If I got anybody in the house today that will say we're all in this thing together, don't you let loneliness steal your Christmas. Don't you let loneliness be no Grinch that causes. Don't you get so caught up looking at other couples that you upset that you ain't a couple, because some of them is miserable couples. Some of them is couples that are dysfunctional couples, and you sitting there looking at them like you want to be them, and that sister, that brother looking at you wishing they could be you. Have I got a witness in the house today? But don't you let loneliness steal your Christmas. One, don't let disappointment steal your Christmas. Two, don't let loneliness steal your Christmas. Oh, but the third thing, and then I've got to get up out of here, is get ready for company. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, get ready for company. Get ready for company. You need to start getting ready right now. Get ready for company. One of the interesting things about this story is that here you have Mary, you have Joseph, and they're sitting there, and they give birth. Mary gives birth to Jesus, and they're sitting there in a manger, in a barn, and the Bible says they wrap him up in swaddling clothes. And this ain't a nice little, I know, you know, a lot of y'all got nice designer clothes already for your baby, amen, somebody? This ain't a designer clothes. This is rags, amen? They got them wrapped up in rags, and they put them in a manger. Manger is a trough that the animals would feed out of. Amen. They put them in the manger, and so they sit there, and they've got them in this animal's feeding place because there was no room for them in the inn. But the thing that catches me in this is that even while they were doing what they were doing, that God was shaping a guest list for the party. And I've come by to talk to somebody here today to let you know on this Christmas, don't you get caught up in disappointment, and don't you get caught up in loneliness, because even right now, God is shaping a guest list for your party. That God was shaping the guest list for the party. God had sent out the little joint out to folks to see who was going to RSVP. And when God looked, he saw that the angels RSVP'd. When God looked, he saw that the shepherds RSVP'd. When God looked, he saw that the wise men RSVP'd. In other words, what catches me is that God had three parties for them to be able to get ready. Get ready for company. Turn to your neighbor and say, I know it looks rough right now, but get ready to party, baby. Because it's about to go down. You see, God sent the angels down for the pre-party. God sent the angels down to help get the shepherds warmed up. Because the Bible says that the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And God sent some angels down to tell the shepherds, look, shepherds, we got the party with you. Because joy to the world, the Lord has come. Is there anybody in the house today that knows that should bring you joy? That the Lord has come. Somebody in the house today, you sitting there worried about what you don't have, but the angels are already singing off in a field somewhere about what you do have. You sitting there worried about what's going wrong, but the angels are singing in a field somewhere about what's about to turn around. The angels were singing to the world about a Savior. The world was still praying for, but the Savior had come. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's already come. It's just got to get to you. It's already come, and the angels are already singing about it in the heavenlies. Get ready for company, because company is going to let you know that everything is going to be all right. The angels sung to the shepherds, because the angels were the pre-party. Then the shepherds said, now we got to go have the house party. The angels went by the manger and went and they found Jesus right there. And I'm so glad that God will send some folks to let you know what's on the way. God will send some folks to let you know who you are. Their shepherds went to tell Mary and Joseph what the angel said. So the angel said, this ain't no regular baby. This is a special baby. I know you're in a stable. I know you're amongst all the mess. But you've got to know there's more to this baby than meets the eye. God's about to send somebody to you to let you know, I know it looks rough right now, but there's more to your situation than meets the eye. There's more to what you're giving birth to than meets the eye. There's more to that idea that you've got that meets the eye. There's more to that business concept you've got than meets the eye. There's more to everything you're dealing with than meets the eye. Is there somebody in the house today? Say, baby, there's more.
than meets the eye. Sometimes God will send some folks to let you know who you are. Bible says the shepherds came by. They said, here's what the angels told us. But then God had the wise men to be the after party. But there's anything we learned from R. Kelly before he went to jail was after the show. It's the after party. Have I got somebody in here that knows? The wise men were the after party. The wise men came later to let them, to not just let them know who Jesus was. The wise men came to worship him. But the wise men also came to finance the vision. Somebody in the house today, I've come to let you know that vision you've got, God's about to send company to help be the resource for what you need to do. God's sending company to help finance what you need to do. God's sending opportunities to help finance what God has put in you. And when God hooks it all up together, baby, that's a party. Don't you let no Grinch steal your Christmas. But you got to realize that when the Grinch hears the word, when the Grinch hears the angels singing, when the Grinch hears who they'll give a praise, even the Grinch can change. You want to know how to deal with the Grinches in your life? Give God some praise. You want to deal with the Grinches in your life? Give God some glory. You want to deal with the Grinches at your Christmas table? Give God a shout and just thank God. Don't thank God for no gifts, but for who God is. Thank God for your life. Thank God for your health. Thank God for your strength. Thank God for your mind. That's gift enough. And when you can give God glory for what you've already got, then the Grinch will see that Christmas for you ain't about no gift under no tree, but for the gift that ended up hanging on a tree. When you realize that Jesus is the reason for the season, and give him the praise, every Grinch in your life heart will start to grow. If I got anybody in the house, you can picture a Grinch. Picture a Grinch, then give God a praise. Picture your Grinch, then give God a praise. Picture the Grinch on your job, and then give God a praise. Picture the Grinch at your house, then give God a praise. Picture the Grinch in your neighborhood, then give God a praise. Look in the mirror at your own Grinch self, and then give God a praise in the mirror until you get right, until you feel better, until you get some joy, until you feel your peace coming on. Have I got anybody in the house that will magnify the Lord with me? Let us exalt his name together. Give God a praise until joy bells start ringing. Give God a praise until you feel the joy deep down in your soul. Give God a praise till your attitude shifts. I've come by to let you know, I give God glory. Merry Christmas, baby. Jesus, you've been real good. Merry Christmas, Jesus. Lord, I thank you. Merry Christmas, Jesus. Merry, 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 merry Christmas. Come on, somebody give God glory in the house today. Come on, somebody give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now's the time for a praise break. I know the world is saying happy holidays, but baby, Merry Christmas. Because you can't take Christ out of this for me. Because Jesus is all the world to me. And every single bit of it. I know we can be ecumenical. I'll tell you happy Hanukkah. I'll tell you happy Kwanzaa. I'll tell you happy Ramadan. But don't take Christmas from me. Because the center of what I need is in that word. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Hallelujah.
Thine the glory. Won't you stand all over the church, all that are able? grateful for all that the Lord is doing this Christmas season. Don't let a Grinch steal your Christmas. Shout out to Mason, young Mason, who hit us up online, said he's streaming us from Children's Hospital. We believe him. Mason, that God will touch and heal your body, amen? Anybody believe that with me? God's gonna touch and heal Mason. Mason, we love you. Merry Christmas. Happy birthday. And we're gonna get you some birthday dollars, amen? We got to come and bring them ourselves. Amen, somebody? Happy birthday, Mason. Look, if you're in the house today and you've never accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, I want to give you that opportunity.